All right. So, welcome. Thank you. This is our September 15th technical advisory team meeting. I don't, are we okay if we skip introductions? We all know each other, right? We do this every 3 months. If somebody doesn't look familiar, we just ask. First thing we need to do is hopefully you received them. I sent out the minutes from our 6:16 meeting with the invite. Did everybody have a chance to take a peek and see if you agree or have any comments? I do have them open if we want to kind of go through them on screen. I'm open to whatever. If everybody was good with what they read, I would need a motion to approve as written. Or if anybody wants to review them, I'm more than happy to go read through them real quick again.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Thank you, Dana. Any second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Phew. Okay, I can close that document. So yeah, one of the things that we wanted to actually talk to all of you about, and actually Kyle's on the phone, so Kyle, you can jump in with any comments and stuff as well. I'm going to share screen just so everybody can see what we're kind of referring to. Annually, let's see if, hopefully now you can all see an INI reduction annual report. See if I can zoom in a little so it's more readable. You can see that. Annually, for all of our five treatment facilities, we need to submit to DEQ an INI report, what we're doing about reduction. The main information is, this is for the Tri-City facility. How many miles of sewer come to it, how many pump stations, the last most recent INI study, how many storm-related SSOs. And the issue is Tri-City sees a lot more flow than what comes from just our collection system. And it would be helpful if we had data from the member communities as well to add to this so it's a more realistic report of what's actually going on. We have the flow data, which we're able to do because this is coming into the influent pump station. But when you look at the amount of smoke testing that we did, this is only what we did in Gladstone and our little bit of gravity sewer that actually goes there. So that number would be much larger if West Linz and Oregon City's information was also reflected in here. So what we've done, and I'm going to switch. Stop sharing the actual report that we submit and switch to a Word document. Share screen. Get the right one. Where is it? There we go. Sure. Now, hopefully, you're seeing just a Word document that I typed up that very similar information. We're making an ask of our member communities, if you could help us collect information for this report. We need to turn it into DEQ by February 1st of each year. We were hoping we could get the information from all of our member communities by January 15th so that we can compile our report and mail it off in time. And this is my proposed actual form that the member communities would hopefully fill out and return to us. It is a little different. Westland, you guys, Oregon City, you all come to all of us. Westland, you don't do only come to West. You don't go north at all to Waco or anything, right? Okay. Gladstone's a little different because they go to Oak Lodge and to us. So we only need the sewers that are tributary to West. And we're just looking, for your name, the date, miles of sewer tributary to West, number of pump stations tributary to West, number of storm-related SSOs in the previous year, And then what I did was kind of fill out here. DEQ asks for last 5 years, the last year, and what's planned in the future year. So I put example date ranges in here to reflect what we would like to receive from you on January 15th, 2023. The last 5 year period would be 2017 through 2021 calendar year. Last year would be 2022 and planned would be future work in 2023. Hopefully this isn't a major lift. We managed to pull the majority of these numbers straight out of our Lucity work order management system. And so, yeah, I just wanted feedback from you all. If that's something you think is doable, something that you may already put together for your reports, your budgeting or your whatever, to report on what you've done in your systems. So just wanted to chat about that as a group. Let's see if we think that's doable. And actually, I'll stop share so we can all see each other. And I'm not looking at a form.
Any thoughts? I have a couple questions. Jessica, sure. I noticed on the list it said manholes replaced. Would new construction fall under that?
Good question. Kyle, any feedback on that one?
Yeah, there's definitely a few areas on this that are a little bit gray as we've gone through this. I don't think that we're counting any new construction in that repaired. It would be so replaced would be a manhole that was completely removed and new structure, and then repaired is just a repair on an existing structure. So, a couple of the other things on that may be a little bit misleading or hard to interpret so it asks for the miles of sewer cleaned and TV'd, and then there's miles of cleaning without CCTV. This was a hard one for us because we don't always clean our lines before we CCTV, and they're not really asking for that number. What we put in here most, I guess in the past we've put in, so it's just cleaning and CCTV, that would be just CCTV work. And then cleaning is just cleaning work. So just to make that a little bit more simplified.
Do you want me to actually change the text on here, Kyle, or?
I mean, that's how they word it in the DEQ's document, so, but, possibly, yeah.
I think the thing is, we don't want to double count. If it was cleaning that was done in order to CCTV, we're not counting that under the cleaning without CCTV kind of thing. So.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but we have some, you know, frequent flyer lines that get cleaned quarterly or monthly, or sometimes even weekly. So, you know, more versus your annual inspection, you know, try and inspect a certain linear footage of pipe and such.
Jessica, our reports that we run, they do not double count. They eliminate any redundant asset IDs for one of those work types, whether it's cleaning or TV inspection.
And that's the other good point, Matt. I don't know what work order management systems you guys are using, but we're more than happy to sit down with you and try and figure out how best to report on it, or let you know how we're reporting on it or querying the data, if that would be helpful, so that we're all clear on what the information is and reporting it correctly. We don't want to make more work for anyone. So. So I was thinking I'll actually send this Word document out to y'all so you can talk to your operations folks and or, you know, other engineering staff, and we'll check back in. I'll probably reach out to you all in November, just to see if there's any issues or if you think you're going to be able to do it or if we need to support you in any way to pull these numbers together. And we can discuss it again in December. And fingers crossed, we can all report on it in January. So, does that sound like a good plan to everyone? Okay, cool. Thank you. Next, I wanted to talk about the II grant funded projects. If we could all just discuss, you know, we had the three back in March that we voted on and approved to include under the INI IGA. I was hoping just a short update of what's going on or where the project is. And Dana, if you don't mind, I'll put you on the spot for your the II program management and the Rivercrest phase three.
Sure. For the program management, we are working on condition assessment in Basin 8. For us, Basin 8 has about 120,000 lineal feet of pipe. We've gone through the CCTV work we already have, which is about half of the basin, and are doing the condition assessment on those. The other half of the basin, we are working to get CCTV quotes. I think we're struggling to get responses. I don't know if it's the volume or the just maybe lack of CCTV contractors. So we are struggling a little bit on that, but we're moving forward with the condition assessment for that Basin 8. And then also starting to look ahead a little bit at Basin 5 and acknowledging that our basin is fairly large. It's larger than Basin 8 from a lineal feet of pipe perspective, and looking at maybe kind of subdividing that so we can kind of focus in one area first and then another area. So we're working through some of that. I think things are moving forward. That half of the basin that we already had the CCTV work, the first design contract has been awarded, and so that is moving forward. So they'll kind of trickle out. For Rivercrest phase three, that's just for the construction phase. So we have finalized the plans. We went out to bid. The bid was a little bit higher than the engineer's estimate, but still within reason. And we've held the pre-con and kind of waiting on construction to get started. So that's kind of where we're at with our two projects.
Wow, great. Thank you. So things are moving along. Oh, great. We're going to talk flow meter data and all that offline about subdividing that area. And let me know, you know, what it is. If flow metering, you know, if it's only a couple of meters, we may be able to figure something out. Or instead of, you know, if it's you need 10 meters to subdivide the area, it might be a separate ADS kind of thing. But great. Gladstone. Darren's not here. So I do know, however, that Gladstone did contract with Leeway and are going forward with the design, the rehab design of the majority of the defects identified during the SSES that we did. So I don't know what their construction schedule or when they're planning on having that out to bid, but they are moving forward with doing that. So. Well, those were the important topics I wanted to talk about. Does anybody have anything that they want to add or discuss while you've got us all here? Come on, people. I know we're engineers, but we were also just all at PNCWA, so I'm kind of talked out. I had all the socializing I need for a year.
Okay. Did you learn some fun things at the conference?
I'm going to be honest with all of you. I always get there and it's not like I learned something new. You know, gravity sewers, it's not that technically advanced. But you pick up nuggets here and there. And the main thing is networking and figuring out who's doing what and who's done similar things and that kind of stuff. So, but it's one of those things, it's exciting. You sign up for the conference, woo, I'm going to Spokane in September. And then you get there and after about 8 hours, you're like, okay, I could go home now. Just too much. I know, for new technology and stuff like that, it is interesting, the exhibit floor and all that. So the equipment is pretty cool.
I have one talk that might be of interest that I attended. I think Jeff did as well. It was around estimating budgets for future work and actual contractor estimating. A gentleman that had over 30 years of experience across the nation looks at all the economic indicators, supply chain issues, tapped in with some of the biggest general contractors across the country. He was anticipating for jobs they'll be bidding 12 to 15% increase in construction costs next year, potentially the same next year. And then just to make it an even bit darker, the possibility that we all know of a recession with the way things are going with the Fed trying to knock down inflation. But thought that was interesting with our CIP and all the money that we have coming up to spend on constructing improvement projects moving forward. So thought that might be of interest to you.
I can piggyback off that. I went to a similar talk later. I took a bunch of notes. I'll run through. They might be of interest. Yeah, it was a three folks from the, including estimators, contractors, vendor, and an engineer that all are do projects nationwide, and talked about their experiences and what's going on in the industry. They're expecting that interest rates are going to stay up long term, which is going to affect costs on jobs for companies that are using loans or other funding to float costs and that sort of thing. So that's going to keep costs up. There's a lot of new money coming in, as we all know, from the federal grants. And while that's good for for us and people that are able to use those funds, it also means there's a lot more money kind of rushing into the system, which is actually causing the costs to go up, because there's a lot of big projects coming out and there's a lot of money for those projects, and there's not necessarily any more contractors for those projects. So that's kind of driving costs up in the near term. So the supply chain issues, of course, are continuing. They're expecting costs related to that and lead times to stay high through probably 2024. And that the labor market is expected to stay difficult through that period, at least. Plastic and steel prices continue to stay high. We haven't seen any relief from those. They're not expecting them to come down, and those are going to keep material and equipment costs high for anything that uses those types of things, which of course is pretty much everything we do outside of concrete. Labor participation rate is down across the board. And so that's, in addition to being we're at a very low unemployment rate, just the actual labor participation rate is down. I think it was down about 5 or 10%, as traditional. So that's leading to an additional shortage in labor, which of course is driving costs up because there's not as many people to do the job. So they're putting a premium on the jobs that they are bidding for. They gave one example of kind of costs pre-COVID versus post-COVID on clarifier projects. The cost to build them pre-COVID was around $2,500 per diameter foot. And right now we're looking at on average nationwide somewhere around $5,000 per diameter foot. So, some of those types of projects are really expensive, and they, again, don't see the cost for that sort of thing. Any relief coming in the near future? Let's see. Got a bunch of other stuff here. Let's see what's relevant to kind of this group. So like I mentioned before, supply chain issues continue and they're not expecting those to change in the next year or two. Lead time items for certain items, depending on the kind of work you're doing, are going to continue to be high. Switchgear right now, especially electrical items, are saying switchgear right now is, you know, 12 to 18 months lead time on that sort of electrical stuff. So if anyone's doing any projects where they're going to be doing maybe work on pump stations, just expect that some lead time items are, we're not going to see any relief to those anytime soon. Let's see. Right now, I said contractors aren't really able to plan more than 2 to 3 months out because the fluctuation in cost. And so that's making them be a lot more conservative when they're putting bids together because they just don't know. The market's so unstable that they can't be comfortable with, you know, bidding for projects where the work is going to be, you know, 2 or 3 years or, you know, year and a half worth of work. They just don't know what the costs are going to be. So it's causing them to be more conservative. Let's see. I think those are the kind of the important points. And then I just talked about basically, you know, consider if you're doing any large projects, consider alternative delivery methods might help, and engage any sort of contractors you have. That's their kind of suggestion, is just if you're looking at doing a project or considering a project or in the middle of designing a project, even if you're just doing traditional design, bid, build, reach out to contractors early and get to really get a feel of what they're seeing right now and what they're expecting locally, to do the best you can as far as prices go. So yeah, anyway, just to build off what Matt said, that was the summary of the one that I went to that might be of interest to folks.
Thank you, Nathan. Anybody have any questions for us? Anything?
Jessica, kind of backing up, Dana went through their projects, but we were able to complete our sanitary sewer lining project this season. I don't remember off the top of my head. Marina, do you remember how many feet we lined? It got kind of moved around a little bit just because they got in there and there was some places they couldn't get, and the easements and some pipe that was already, you know, different size than what was in the GIS and so on. So we didn't quite do as much as we had planned, but we were able to do that entire basin 1A West, which according to our last master plan and modeling was our leakiest basin. So good news there.
Yeah, that's out in the Bolton area, tributary to our Bolton station. Cool.
Yeah.
Any progress on the INI IGA that you've heard of? Just so we can help you with that?
That's a good question. I'll have to circle back on that. That we never did get that signed and get back.
Yeah. Okay. If you can, I think it's above us, Eric, where okay. Discussed, but if there's any way you have any influence or whatever to keep that moving, that would be
sure. I'll work on that.
Yeah. And then the Mapleton Bioxide IGA.
Okay.
So again, it's above us, but if there's any way for you to shed some light or push that forward, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
And we do have our pump station rehab. We have two contracts out. One will do upgrades to River Street. The other will do upgrades to the Bolton pump station. And those will be over the course of the next year. The majority of the work is on the pump station site, so it won't be impacting your right-of-ways and such. But we'll keep you in the loop and let you know when that's happening. But and we do have our permits through electrical and all that, buildings through Westland. But just to let you know, we're working on both of those. And then the other station is our Clackamas pump station and our Timberline Rim station. So out in the Woodland area and out in the Clackamas industrial area. Cool. No? Anybody, anything you want to discuss? Or if not, let everybody go enjoy lunch. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. We'll say meeting adjourned, and I will be reaching out with our INI ask, and we'll schedule again to see you in December. As always, please send, if you have questions or something we should discuss, please send me ideas. It would be nice to use our collective brain power. Okay?
Jessica, I guess when it comes to December, I think we had talked about giving an outfall update in December.
Okay.
But I'd like to at least reserve a little bit of time to give everybody an update on where we're at on our big outfall pipe from our treatment plant out to the Willamette River. I can give a short presentation. We've got a contractor on board now, and so we've kicked off that design phase just to let the group know. So I should have a lot more information to share in December. So I'll plan to give a little update on that.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. Good to see you all.
Thank you.